This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Your copy of God's Word as we look to 1 Peter chapter number 5 and in verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and in verse number 8. Now, I am still going through the series on temptation. The Lord is still leading me down that path, and I pray that it's been a help to you as you have discovered some new truth about temptation and what temptation's all about. I believe this will be our third sermon in the series, and so hopefully I am helping you to overcome the battles and the temptations of life. We find ourselves this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse number 8. The Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant. Listen now, because your adversary, the devil, Say this with me, my adversary is the devil. Say this, my adversary is not my family. My adversary is not my friend. My adversary is the devil. Look at the Bible says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 would say, whom resist. I want you to be seated this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about the truth concerning temptation. I personally feel that there are a lot of misconceptions out there when it comes to the area of temptation. And these misconceptions are a part of the devil's lies. And you need to expose his lies and understand these misconceptions so you can do spiritual combat and engage in spiritual warfare against the devil. So this morning, I'm going to talk about these misconceptions. And you pray with me as God helps us discover brand new truth about his word, his will, and his way. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And all God's people can say with me, amen. Now listen, a big part of temptation is understanding exactly what Satan is up to and how he goes about carrying about his schemes. I have found that not only does Satan attack believers with temptation, but he also tries to distort the truth about temptation. Now, this is an important statement because this is where we're going. I have found that Satan not only attacks believers with temptation, but he also tries to distort the truth about temptation. And he does that through a series of misconceptions. He tries to distort the truth of the Word of God to get us to not yield to the Lord, to get us off track and not understand what's happening to us at that moment. And here's what I believe. I believe that his lying misconceptions can be just as spiritually fatal as yielding to temptation. Let me say it again. Believing his lie and believing the misconceptions that the devil puts into our mind can be just as spiritually fatal in our lives as actually yielding to temptation. Now, you need to know this morning that the Bible unmasks the devil, and he helps us to understand and to see his character over and over again in the Bible. We are not left as fools as to who the devil is. We are not left ignorant of his devices. Over and over again in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible talks about this adversary, which is the devil, and he unmasks him. God unmasked the devil so you can see his character. For example, Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, the first thing you need to know about the devil is the devil resists the things of God. He will do all that he can to push back on the things of God and to have you living in a point of darkness and despair. He resists the word of God. He resists the things of God. So you need to know that the devil is not your friend. Somebody say amen. He resists everything that God is trying to do in the world. He resists the man of God. He resists the preaching of the word of God. He resists the singing that we heard this morning. He's doing everything he can to push you into darkness. The Bible says in the New Testament in John chapter 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Listen, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. Listen, for he is a liar. Jesus said that the devil is a liar. He is a liar, and he is the father of it. You need to know today, he's a murderer and he is a liar. He wants to kill your testimony. He wants to kill your marriage. He wants to kill the passion and the spontaneity within this church. And he will lie to you and he will give you misconceptions about the truth. He resists the things of God. He's a liar and he is a murderer. The Bible goes on to say in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the Bible says that the gospel has come to us, watch this now, verse 18, to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. You see, the job of the devil is to keep us in that darkness, to surround us with despair and discouragement. And so he lies to us even in our temptation. Let me give you another one. If you're with me, say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Isn't it interesting that sometimes the devil is like, he comes to us like a sheep, but he's actually a wolf, right? He comes to us in light, and actually he is trying to dispel his darkness. The Bible says in our text, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is your adversary. Listen now. He resists the things of God. He's a murderer and he is a liar. He can even transform himself into an angel of light. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is called our adversary. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, underline this, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now let me just sum this up. He resists the things of God. He will resist you when you are trying to work for God. Jesus said he's a liar and he is a murderer. Peter said he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He also said that he is our adversary. Notice, he never said your friends are your adversary. He never said your fellow man is your adversary. You need to know today, you've got an adversary and his name is the devil, and he is a murderer and he is a liar. And the Bible says that he accuses you and accuses me before God day and night. That means sometime, maybe yesterday or this past week or maybe even today, that the devil accused you of something before the throne of God. It would go something like this. The conversation would, well, Lord, just look at Justin. He's supposed to be that youth pastor down there at Parkway Baptist. But listen to look how he lives his life, and look what he says on a daily basis, and look what he does in the cover of night, and constantly accusing the people of God before the Lord, mocking God, if you will, in his face over our lives. He is the accuser of the brethren. Now, the Bible makes it very clear who he is. And it's like John Wilhoit in his book on prayer, he reminds us that Satan is your enemy. Listen to his words. You need to understand, he said, that Satan is your only enemy. Listen to that. Satan is your only enemy. It is critical that you stop viewing persons, institutions, systems, and circumstances as your enemy. Yes, Satan can operate through each one of these, but the essence of your problem lies with the spiritual forces of darkness, Satan himself. Put on your spiritual glasses and begin to see what God sees. Satan is your only enemy. And you need to understand that today. Some of you think your problem is with this person or that person, but you need to understand there is a spirit world and that the devil is our enemy. He is a liar. He is a murderer. He resists the things of God. He's trying to devour. He accuses us before the brethren and so on and so forth. He is not your friend. And so here's some questions that we need to answer this morning as we are trying to uncover the truth of temptation. Number one, what defenses do we have against Satan's temptation? Brother David, if he is all of that, he resists, he's an accuser, he is like a roaring lion, how can I defend myself against such a powerful spiritual weapon? How can I fight against something that I can't even see? How do I know which direction that the devil is coming from? How do we fight against Satan's temptations? Here's the second question. How do we fight against his lies? How do I know to decipher truth from error? How do I know when I'm entering into the darkness as opposed to the light? How do I know that I'm standing in the will of God? And last of all, how do we secure our mind against his deceitful ways? How do I fight against the devil? How do I find a defense against his temptation? How, as a believer, do I secure my mind in such a way that I understand that this is coming from the devil and it's not coming from God? Well, many, many years ago, John Calvin wrote this and gave us a wonderful answer to all three of those questions. Listen to what he says. He said, "We have no strength to contend with such a combatant as the devil, or to sustain the violence of his assault. Assuredly, those who are in self-confidence prepare for such a fight do not understand how bold and well-equipped the enemy is with whom they have to do. For if the Spirit of God is our strength in waging the contest with Satan, we cannot gain the victory unless we are filled with him and thereby freed from all infirmity of the flesh. Therefore, when we pray to be delivered from sin and Satan, we at the same time desire to be enriched with new supplies of divine grace. Until completely replenished with them, we triumph over every evil." You need to understand today, friend, if you're going to have a defense against Satan's temptations, if you're going to fight against his lies, if you're going to fortify and secure your spiritual mind, you've got to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the way you are filled with the Spirit of God is, first of all, you need to know that you are saved. You need to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Somebody say amen. And once you are saved, you are empowered with the Spirit of God. And every day, we are to pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God. Every day, we are to ask the Lord to fill us and to secure our mind and secure our heart in such a way that when the devil lies and his misconceptions come our way, our mind is fortified and secured. We have something to stand upon that is faith in Christ and Christ alone. This morning, here's what I want to do for just a little while. I want to give you four misconceptions. We could probably name more than that, and you could probably come up with a few even on your own. But I want to talk about four misconceptions of temptation. And these misconceptions are going to keep you from living the victorious Christian life. And so you need to understand these. If you're taking notes, I want you to follow with me. Here's misconception number one. And it is, temptation is a sin. Temptation is a sin. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother David. You're off track on point number one. You've already derailed the train, and you've not even got through the sermon yet, because temptation is a sin. I don't know where that theology comes from, and I don't understand where that statement comes from, because according to the Word of God, temptation is not a sin. And I'm going to prove that to you as we look at the scripture here together. Here's what happens. Oftentimes, the feelings that are associated with temptation, those urges, all right? When you feel that feeling of temptation to maybe walk away from the will of God and not to do according to his word, those feelings, sometimes we associate them with our character as opposed to the temptation. Are you following me? When you are tempted and you get that urge to sin against the Lord, a lot of times we take those feelings and we associate it with our own personal character. But those feelings are not associated with our character. Those feelings are associated with the temptation. Satan is trying to draw us away and entice us with our lust in order to break fellowship with the Lord. And here's what happens. When you start believing that this temptation that is coming against you, that it is a part of your character, Here's what happens to many people, and I've counseled a lot of people and talked to a lot of folks over the years that's gone through various battles, and here's what happens. They begin to self-condemn themselves. They begin to think because they are being tempted and they are being drawn away that they are not worthy to walk with God, that they can't sing in the choir, that they can't teach in a class, that they can't be on mission with God, because they're constantly being bombarded with this temptation, because in their mind, they have equated the temptation as a sin. And they think that those feelings that are trying to draw them away, what they have seen with their eye, what they've heard with their ear, maybe what has entered into their mind, they believe that those feelings are associated with their character, and their character is corrupt as opposed to the temptation. And they begin to self-condemn themselves, that they are out of fellowship with God, and all of a sudden, guilt overtakes them. And when guilt overtakes them, this is exactly where the devil wants you to be. You listen to me and listen to me well. Guilt is a powerful tool that the devil uses to keep you discouraged and out of the will of God. And if he can bombard your mind with thoughts, if he can cause your eyes to see, if he can cause your ears to hear certain things and entertain certain feelings that you have never yielded to and get you to condemn yourself and be filled with self-guilt, he has you exactly where he wants you to be. And you've not even yielded to the temptation. You're just dealing with the struggle. You're just dealing with the feelings. You've not even brought it into life as of yet, but his misconceptions are just as spiritually fatal because he's got you discouraged in the work of the Lord. And you are self-condemning and you are filled with self-guilt. I want you to know that according to the scripture, that God and the devil both uses guilt. Did you know that? God uses guilt and the devil uses guilt. But there is a vast difference between true guilt and false guilt. When God uses guilt to get our attention, true guilt can be defined as true guilt speaks truth. It gently leads you to repentance and forgiveness. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. When spiritual guilt is overtaking us and we feel guilty before God, that the law of God has exposed us as sinners and we realize that we've sinned against the Lord, true guilt speaks truth. True guilt speaks reality. It speaks about the things of God, that God loves you and God cares for you, that God wants to wash away. Hey, God wants to wash away your sins. Somebody say amen. I'm glad that God guilted me. I'm glad that God exposed the shame. I'm glad that God got my attention one day and I was gloriously saved by the power of the word of God. Somebody say amen. God uses true guilt, but the devil uses false guilt. False guilt can be defined that it arises when you blame yourself even though you've committed no wrong. You're blaming yourself for this thought that's entering into your mind. You're blaming yourself for something that you couldn't avoid to see. You're blaming yourself for something that you could not have avoided as to hear. And you set up false guilt and you blame yourself for a wrong that you've not even committed. False guilt keeps you in bondage to three destructive feelings: shame, fear, and anger. These three things will destroy the child of God. Fear, anger, and shame. These things will keep you in a spiritual bondage, and they all result from false guilt. Let me give you one more. False guilt taunts and condemns. It brings dishonor and inner shame. You need to know that God uses guilt. But when God uses guilt, he speaks the truth to lead you to repentance. But when Satan uses guilt, he does it to destroy you and to keep you discouraged and off track from discovering the truth of the word of God. You know what? We need to claim victory over false guilt this morning. And the only way that we can claim false or